61. And as we get started, this is going to be a slightly different format for us, so we're going to have to do things a little bit differently.
Recording in progress.
First, this is more of a talk than a sermon. So our venue is different, so our communication has to be a little bit different as well. And with that in mind, I'd like to ask everyone to mute your window by, again, clicking on the little microphone in the lower left corner. And that will cut down on any ambient noise or distractions and help us focus. And if you have trouble turning it off, you can let us know, and we can just do that for you. And if you have a Bible, it would be a good idea to just have it nearby. And also, if you have any comments or questions, just type them into the chat box below, and I'll do my best to get to them after the talk. So, are we ready?
That's good.
Ready? All right. Let's. Before we do anything else, may we pray. Father, as we look into your word, bless us, help us. Spirit of truth, you speak through your word inerrantly. And we ask that you would speak into our hearts, that you would bless us to follow you, to know you, to love you, to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and begin. Psalm 61, all eight verses, and I'm going to read to you from the NIV. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Okay, let's jump in. This is a Psalm of David, and that matters because it helps us understand what's really going on here. David was a warrior king, the main conqueror in Israel's history, more so even than Joshua. He conquered more territory, and then he united the 12 tribes into a national force. But just because he mentions his foes in this psalm, it's really not about them. It's just because, again, he was a warrior, so he had foes. And this isn't a psalm of deliverance, then, where, you know, there are a lot of psalms that mention his foes, like Psalm 3 or 6 or 17 or 57 or 59 and others. And that'll be helpful for us to just kind of keep in mind as we, you know, if we look at the psalm and we think about our own foes, if we're trying to apply it to ourselves, a good rule of thumb when you look at the psalms is to think about your sins as your foes. So if you're praying the Psalms and it references enemies, think about your sins as your enemies and apply that. But what this psalm is really about is longing, longing for God. And if you look at the painting on the front of the bulletin, that's what's going on there. David is portrayed in this moment of longing. You can see him. He's looking out, if you will, from the palace, I assume. And you know, the caption basically under that is, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. But really what he's wanting to do is to fly away and be in God's presence. So last week, we looked at Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, remember? And this week, we're going to look at the very opposite. Last week, we looked at Jesus' longing, God's longing for Jerusalem. This week, we're going to look at our longing for God. So let me start by asking, how's it going with that? Because There's probably no better measure of a true faith in our hearts than a genuine longing for God. You know, not just that, oh, I'll be a better person, but a longing of our hearts for Him. You know, not just a more profound faith. You can believe all the right things, but your heart can remain unchanged, right? Think about James 2:19 that says, even the demons believe and tremble, but they remain unchanged. And so I think what's really driving the heart of this psalm, the work of the Spirit behind it, is David praying for his heart to be changed. And that is such a good thing. We need that, don't we? And if you don't think you need it, then you need it more than you know. I hate to say, but isn't that true? So notice how David starts in verse 1 with this desperate call to God. Hear my cry. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. In other words, you know, he's reached the end of himself, wherever that is. You know, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What David notices is his own heart is faltering here because he knows he's weak and he needs God so much. You know, and I think this is so important because some, including many who think themselves to be Christians, never really acknowledge their weaknesses. But God wants us to. That's where his strength is made perfect, right? 2 Corinthians 12:19. And this is where you really see David's longing. Verse 4, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. I love that imagery. And I love it because that's the same imagery that Jesus, the Son of David, used when he wept over Jerusalem. Again, the passage that we looked at in Matthew last week. Remember the words, how I've longed to gather you under my wings, like a hen gathers her chicks. So you see the same language coming from God and coming from David. Don't miss the tenderness in that. There's a meeting of the hearts. These two passages are a great reminder that our longing for God is met with his longing for us, and in fact, he longed for us first, right? So, the last verses in the psalm are about David's personal life, thinking about how God has helped him in the past, what God has given him, praying for a long life, praying for his throne to last. But notice in the last part of verses 7 and 8 that this is all to happen in God's presence. And David will praise him and be faithful to him as a result. But underneath it all is the thought that he can't go on without God. So it's not really about David being enthroned, actually. It's about God being enthroned in his heart, in his life, and every blessing that comes with it. So as God's enthroned in his heart and life, David knows that his life, come what may, will be better. So how do we apply this? First, we do what David did. We recognize there is no greater need in our own hearts and lives than for Jesus. That there is no greater need. He is the rock, right, that is higher than I, as David put it. And think about this, you know, from the ends of the earth, I called you. I like the way the NLT also translates that. When my heart is overwhelmed, I think it says. So, maybe your circumstances have been just too much lately. Your heart can be overwhelmed in that, right? Maybe your own sins. Maybe you didn't even see it coming. You didn't even know what you were capable of in a bad way. And God, through His Spirit, showed you a new place in your heart where you needed Him. And maybe it even went so deep, it just caught you off guard, and it maybe even made you question your faith. But there's hope, especially in that place, that place where we see our own weakness and we cry out. You know, when we see our own weakness more clearly than ever before and we cry out to Him like David, because God is higher than we are, and because He is, He's able to lift us up, and that's the very reason Jesus came, so that we could be, again, think of the language that David uses, that Jesus uses, so that we could be pulled close under the shadow of His wing. So I'm sitting in my little study here at home where I have too many books, and my little 1812 copy of Olney Hymns, this little tiny book with just, I mean, this thing is like, I don't know, maybe 2.5 inches by 4 inches. So the print is really small. but this is Olney Hymns, written by John Newton and the British poet genius William Cowper. And this is my little 1812 edition. I like to wonder where it went. In, you know, over 200 years. But to wrap up, I want to read this little poem from Cowper, and you'll have to indulge me because I've used it before, but I'm going to keep doing it because it is so good, because it speaks so deeply to the human heart. Cowper is looking at his life, and he sees something wrong, and he realizes he needs more of God, which is what David is doing in this psalm. So let's just take a look. Here we go. Gotta get to where the light is good enough for me to actually read this thing. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame, so purer light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Purer light, I like that phrase. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, Cowper's looking back on his life, and he's realizing, man, when I first knew Jesus, it was so good. It was so good. And what happened? And he's looking over his life, he sees some things, and he says, oh. And then he prays, return, O holy dove, meaning the Holy Spirit, return, sweet messenger of rest. That's what he gives, rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. So what Cooper's doing is he's referring to a verse in Scripture that says that it's possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is always with us if we've received Jesus, but as Ephesians 5:18 tells us, we need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And as the Spirit is at work within us, God does in his faithfulness keep showing us those places where we need to work, where we need to give more of ourselves over to God. Because again, remember, surrender is a daily thing. It's not just, oh, well, yeah, I'm all surrendered, you know, here I am. My experience with that is whenever I start thinking that way, you know, God shows me something like, well, how about this? So, you know, there is beauty and peace and even joy in turning from our sins and ourselves and turning to him, repenting of our sins so that we can find new strength in him, new closeness with him. And that's where his peace comes in. That's the beauty of it. That's what David's longing for. And so should we. May we pray. Father, bless us and help us in this. Help us to long for you like you long for us. May the work of your Spirit in our hearts just be that longing fulfilled. The beauty of saying, yeah, Lord, I'm tired of myself. I want you. I want more of you. I'm tired of my way. I want your way. Help me, Holy Spirit, to love you more, to long for you more. Thank you that you're doing this work in me. Help me not to be discouraged, but to keep going, because, again, it's you. It's your work. You've got me. And I trust you. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that you who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion. So, we praise you. We praise you. And if there's any place in our own sin, in our own lives, where there's a sin, where there's been something we've been holding on to, help us to lay it down. In fact, Lord, right now, we want to lay it down right now. And just turn to you and just love you more. And just say, Jesus, we love you. Abba, Father, Holy Spirit. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. Thank you, Lord, that your pure light can shine on us and lead us ever closer to you. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Recording stopped.